AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 263 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week out to discuss and review the US Grand Prix. And it's safe to say, Jamie, if you had a little bit of hopium before now, that has been ramped up to 11, hasn't it, sir? Max Verstappen wins again.
Yes, spoilers. We usually wait a bit to tell who the winner was. But if this is your source of Formula One, then that's a bit confusing.
If this is your only source, yeah, Formula
Exactly. So I don't remember if I said it on the show last week or off air, but I kind of had in my head, if the gap is around 50 points between Max and the championship leader, I would start believing after COTA. And it's down to 40, which is from 63 at the start of the weekend is absolutely ridiculous.
So, or over 100 after Hungary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 104 going into Monza.
Crazy.
And it's now 40.
Crazy. Now it's 40.
This is going to be like the comeback of all comebacks.
If it happens.
If it happens. But I'm very excited for the remainder of the season.
I'm sure you are. I mean, it is nice that we kind of get a little bit of hype, isn't it? Heading into these final few Grand Prix, whether it's for better or for worse, depending on who you ask. But obviously, yeah, the US Grand Prix, obviously, as we kind of mentioned last week, starts this kind of huge slog towards the end of the season, doesn't it? 6 races, 8 weeks, 3 sprints as well thrown in, a Saturday night race in Vegas, a lot of travel for the drivers and teams. And obviously, you come off the back of Singapore a couple of weeks ago, where George Russell took the victory. Mercedes didn't look to be as competitive, did they, this weekend? It kind of looked like, as we got through practice and into qualifying, it always looks like in practice that Ferrari are going to be there in the fight, and then normally aren't. So I think we were kind of all expecting it to be between Max and the McLarens, didn't we?
Yeah, and it feels like that'll be the kind of standard race order for the rest of the season, really, apart from at specialist races where you just guarantee that George Russell's going to show up at Vegas because Mercedes love a cold street track.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Although they did well at Singapore, which isn't cold at all.
No, I mean, bizarre, isn't it? Because I think none of us kind of expected Mercedes, because everything about Singapore should have not worked for them. But it actually seems like that car is very good at just those quick changes of direction. Heading out straight into sprint qualifying, though, obviously only a 12-minute SQ1 session, isn't it? And that made things a little bit messy right towards the end of the runs. Yuki Tsunoda couldn't get a second run in after he got held up behind
about 7 drivers.
Yeah, there were quite a few right at the end there, but Yuki was kind of the big one, wasn't he? That probably should have made it through, but didn't. Bortoleto never managed to get a qualifying lap in. I still could not work out for the life of me over the course of the entire weekend why turn 19, the penultimate corner, they had extended the track limits. Because surely if it's the same track limits for everybody, it's completely irrelevant where the white line is.
It is, but you want to give, like, you want to let the drivers, I don't know, it depends where you want to draw the line, doesn't it? Literally where you want to draw the line. So,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter where you draw the white line. You think about Austria's second last two corners. They just draw a really thick white line so the drivers can carry a lot of speed and push it right to the limit. I agree with you. It felt maybe a couple of inches too wide, the white line on the exit, the second last corner. But in the past, it has been a little bit ridiculous where almost every lap people are going over the limits.
Oh, yeah. I understand that as well. But it's kind of there like through sprint qualifying, I don't think I'd heard beforehand that they had extended track limits there. I was like, isn't everybody getting their lap times removed? And then suddenly
the white line counted, not the white line. Yeah, the white line counts at the racetracks. As long as you keep it on the white line, like in tennis, it's in, basically.
Formula One isn't tennis, though.
Well, you got to be over the line, haven't you? Every sport plays like that, actually.
So. Yeah, I guess. No, am I right in saying badminton is just got to be inside the line? I could be wrong on that one, but I feel like there is a racket sport where it has got to be inside of the line, not on the line, if I remember correctly.
I'm not sure. I don't watch badminton in my spare time, I'm afraid.
No, fair enough. So, obviously, Sonoda will be out in Q1. He'd be drawn by Ollie Bearman. Bit of a shame, obviously, for him and Haas, home Grand Prix, all that. Ocon, again, obviously, both Haas cars out. Colapinto also out. And then, obviously, the aforementioned Gabriel Bortoleto with no time on the board. And as we end of Sprint Q2, Jamie, I mean, for us, it was about 11 o'clock at night, wasn't it, by the time Sprint Q2 was getting on with it. I was ready to go to bed right then and there because I thought both Ferraris were going to be going out in Sprint Q2.
Would have been very amusing.
Well, neither of them looked particularly good throughout Sprint Q1. Sprint Q2 seemed to get even worse, and then I think by the end of Sector 2, they were both down on their previous bests.
Yeah. And by the time they were coming across the line, they were 10th and 11th. So you're thinking, well, one of them could be out here, if not both. But then actually they did both improve and squeeze through and actually left Kimi Antonelli instead as the one who didn't make it through, who probably should have done.
Yeah, 6/1000ths of a second, wasn't it? The gap between Hamilton and Antonelli. But yeah, would be the Mercedes on the wrong side of those mere thousandths. Isaac Hadjar, Pierre Gasly, Lance Stroll, and then Liam Lawson all out. Again, Liam Lawson this time round not able to get a time in because he ran a bit wide through the final through turn 19, the penultimate corner. And by the time we got to SQ3, though, Jamie, I know on the commentary they were talking about this. Does Sprint Q3 need to be changed slightly? Because obviously you just basically sit around for 5 minutes, don't you? Because there's not enough time and obviously not enough tyres to go for two runs. So you basically start an 8-minute session and then nobody goes out until there's about 3.5 minutes left on it. Because you can only do one run.
I guess what they want to avoid, as in you could make the session 3 minutes if you really wanted to, or 5 minutes, say, and then everyone would get one lap, effectively. I guess what you want to avoid is if the first car crashes and causes a red flag, then there'd not be enough time to actually do any laps. But I think they could. I know F1 is so like particular about its session times, but I feel like with very special circumstances, should that happen in a sprint qualifying, you just got to be like, well, we'll just
add a few minutes on.
Which I don't think they would do, because if you look at what happened in Baku's Q3.
Well,
that situation really
happened.
We ended
up with an hour in Q3 with just 2 minutes being added on over and over.
Well, we almost got that situation where there were so many red flags no one could get a lap in. So, I don't know. I do agree with you. I would prefer if it was pure one shot. But it's hard to kind of manufacture that with the times. So,
Well, they basically have manufactured that with the times, isn't it? That it is just a one shot session.
Yeah, but we just have to wait 5 minutes first.
I think I like Crofter's idea. That you run like a 5 minute session and then the top five basically go at the top, obviously 6th through 10th gets set, and then the top five get another 5 minute session but they have to go back out on the same tyres again. That would be quite cool.
That actually is a good Crofty doesn't have good ideas very often.
No. Or almost like doing a hyperpole run or something like that.
Yeah. Their tyres would be shot and they're just sliding around the track.
Well, it's how much you take out of the tyres on the first run to make sure that you get through into the second run. Obviously, because you're on the same set again, would be quite interesting. But I would have thought nobody can really leave much time on the table. Max Verstappen though looked like he had a little bit extra, didn't he, over the McLarens? And let's be fair again, you would expect, Max is still kind of in that lucky position, isn't he? Not that he doesn't drive like this anyway, but he's kind of in that lucky position where he has to put it all on the line. At the moment, because he's got basically nothing to lose
at
this stage of the championship and everything to gain. And you could tell that, Lando and Oscar.
You could tell in the rate in the GP when Norris was racing Leclerc, there was such a difference in approach between those two drivers.
Yeah, but it would be Max taking sprint pole, obviously ahead of Lando, Oscar in P3, Hülkenberg, shout outs there up in
what
P4, brilliant effort. Ahead of Russell, Alonso, Sainz, Hamilton, Albon, and Leclerc. I mean, that's Hulk's first top 10 qualifying appearance of the year, because it doesn't obviously technically count as a Q3 appearance, because obviously it's not real qualifying.
Oh, you just stuck it fourth on a grid. I've no idea how still. I think just the one.
Just a well hooked up lap.
Yeah, and it was second in practice, so I guess they just nailed the setup immediately before anyone else caught up. So
Did very, very well.
It's always gone well at COTA.
Exactly, he does always do well at COTA, and I think we were all expecting as we went into that sprint race that he was going to be able to pick up some huge points for Sauber, And then turn one happened. Talk us through it.
Yes. Well, Max Verstappen got away well. Wasn't really under any threat from Norris or Piastri behind him. Then the McLarens fight themselves very hard. Piastri tries to line up a switchback on Norris after Norris got a bad start. They're both very far wide compared to the apex of turn one. Piastri tries to line up a switchback on Lando Norris to get a good exit down towards turn two. Meanwhile, Fernando Alonso from, sixth on the grid, and Hülkenberg are still hanging around by the apex. And in my opinion, I think it was probably a racing incident. I know I'm going to get biased shouted at me because Hülkenberg was the first one to make contact with anyone, but he didn't really have anywhere to go, and Piastri switchbacked into Hülkenberg's front right tyre. So, yeah, it worked out really well for Max Verstappen because Hülkenberg's got Piastri in the air. Piastri then hits Norris. Norris spinning hits Alonso, wasn't it? Or was it Hülkenberg spinning hitting Alonso?
Hit Alonso.
Regardless.
I believe.
Four key grid slots were all out of the race. Effectively, Hülkenberg kept going. But they're all no longer in the fight. George Russell is up into second. Carlos Sainz is third. And yeah, I thought at the time it was a Hülkenberg error. Based on his onboard, it kind of looked like it was. But if you look on the overhead shot, Piastri did cut back quite sharply, which was quite a high-risk strategy at turn one when you know you've got the mid-pack right there.
No, I must admit, I think I'm the same as you. It was a racing incident. I think it's one of those ones, isn't it, where you could say, well, each of those four drivers could have done something differently to avoid the accident. Because obviously,
I don't think Norris could have, personally.
Well, Norris could have broke earlier, is what he could have done. Norris went so deep into turn one because obviously he got the worst start than Oscar and knew he had to be ahead of him into that first corner that he just tried to break as late as possible. That obviously then opened the door for Oscar to get the switch back on, because obviously if all the other cars weren't there, Oscar was getting the run off of him at a turn one. Hülkenberg obviously, you know, down the inside, there's probably an element of trying to, you know, Kota's one of those weird ones, but being right at the apex on the inside often actually means you avoid the danger. But
I
then
think
obviously
that's what
Alonso
was trying.
Down his inside. Well, Alonso was trying to get down the inside of Hülkenberg, wasn't he? Which kind of caused all of this melee as well. I mean, the biggest winner in all of this was Yuki Tsunoda. Where he qualified so far back, he was able to get to the inside of all the chaos and gained 11 places by the exit of turn one, which is pretty impressive. He gained 11 spots and Hülkenberg's front wing, rather impressively.
And then managed to hold a sector one with a front wing sticking out of his side pod, which I thought was quite impressive.
Yeah, finally got rid of that down the S's. And then, to make matters even worse for Hülkenberg, he then ran over his own front wing.
Yeah.
Nico Hülkenberg's front wing made it to sector two about 10 seconds before Hulk did.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive.
If they put the timing chip in his front wing, he might have finished where Tsunoda did.
Yeah.
At the end of the race.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Probably explains why they don't do that.
Yeah. I was thinking, that surely hasn't ever happened before, where a driver has run over their own front wing in the same lap as losing it.
Yeah, it has, definitely.
But like the front wing went ahead of him. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know. There'll be some instances of that, though, happening, you think. There's got to be three.
I reckon there has been where you...
It's not the most uncommon occurrence in the world.
It will happen where you lose a bit of front wing, complete a lap, and run over it. But like, has it ever happened where the front wing just makes it halfway around a lap before you do?
Ahead of you, yeah. Quite impressive.
And then you run into it on the same lap.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite an interesting one. But yeah, that would obviously immediately bring out the safety car, loaded debris down. I was honestly, I think, just happy it wasn't a red... Oh no, because this was obviously Saturday evening, wasn't it? So I wouldn't have minded a red flag. But finally we get going again on lap six. And George Russell, I think, kind of, you know, again, of the mindset of, you know, we know him and Max aren't really friends. So I think if George Russell could do anything to kind of try and upset Max's rhythm, he's going to try and go for it. And holy mother of all sins on lap eight. That was incredible to watch.
It was a great attempt from George Russell down the inside of turn 11, wasn't it? Thankfully, Max saw it coming because, yeah, if he wasn't...
He saw it coming because George was actually ahead at the apex, wasn't he? Just about.
Possibly. But he did get to the apex first. He got to the apex all locked up and was never making the corner. So...
If he hadn't locked up, I genuinely think he was going to. But of course, that's completely irrelevant because he did lock up.
Exactly. That's the risk he run by going super aggressive on the dirty side of the track, down into that corner. So, yeah, it was a very good effort from George Russell. Max saw it coming, just left him a bit of space. Obviously, Russell goes off himself without any... Like, if Russell stays on the track there, he's got the lead. So Max did the right thing to kind of just go off the track and keep the position, I think, because they were both off. It was remarkably similar to last year when...
Yeah.
I don't think the rules were applied very well, personally. But
no, they weren't.
Thankfully, there was no steward involvement this time round because, yeah, I don't know what they would have done there, to be honest, because had they given, like, can you imagine they give Max a leaving the track and gaining an advantage penalty for that?
Yeah, would have been quite funny.
Personally. Well, I guess if Russell stayed on the track and Max
if Russell
did,
stayed on the track, that's his spot. That's
exactly.
Just how stupid the rules work, isn't it, at the moment?
My
favourite bit about this whole ordeal was then Max going, oh, you know, he dive-bombed me out of nowhere. Not like that's exactly what Max does every single time.
I don't think he was whinging. He was more just...
Oh, no, he did.
Team.
The one radio message. He was like, he just dived me out of nowhere. What's he doing? You know, like, he's doing what you do.
It was a very Max-esque move.
Exactly.
Apart from he didn't pull it off, so...
Max doesn't always pull him off either, to be fair. But yeah, I mean, let's be fair. George knew the Mercedes wasn't as quick as the Red Bull. That was his one chance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, kind of dropped away. It was never really a threat again. We did have a great battle between the two Ferraris, didn't we? Charles Leclerc made a bit of a mistake through the S's. Lewis Hamilton, this has often been a pretty good track for him.
Very good track.
To pick up the pieces a little bit later on in the lap after some pretty tight battling between the two Ferraris.
Yes, an extremely aggressive defence from Charles Leclerc down the back straight. I was a bit surprised that they're fighting each other so hard when they're kind of in a battle for second in the constructors, and they're also obviously nothing like battling any relevant positions in the Drivers' Championship. So,
hey, prior to this weekend, spoiler alert, Leclerc still had a mathematical shot at the World Championship.
He did. Did you see he replied to Formula One on Instagram saying,
he did,
let's go, boys, or whatever it was? It did seem a bit much from Charles Leclerc to defend that hard in a sprint race for P4 or whatever it was. But whatever, they didn't crash, so no harm, no foul.
Hamilton made the move anyway. And then things kind of died down, didn't they, after that? You had a bit of a battle between Kimi Antonelli and Ollie Bearman, obviously through that brilliant switchback section of like 13, 14, 15. Bearman would kind of get shoveled out wide, keep the place, and again, because of just the way the F1 rules work, if you're side by side with a car, you get pushed off and they're trying to make the place. You either give it up or you get a 10-second penalty, which Bearman got completely screwed overboard because obviously it wouldn't be a Formula One weekend without Lance Stroll doing something hilarious and trying to channel his inner Daniel Ricciardo. Just flat out took out Esteban Ocon on lap 16.
Was very ridiculously funny to watch, to be honest. Especially,
they're
fighting
for Lance Stroll.
They're fighting for 16th or something like that.
It was so irrelevant, yeah.
And all locked up. You could tell he was basically apologising before he hit him.
He apologised as the crash was still happening, which was quite impressive.
It must have been a good 40 metres back into the braking zone.
I don't think it was quite that far, but it was ridiculous, yeah. You just know full well he was just in his own head as soon as he went for it. Go, oh my god, I've just remembered I'm Lance Stroll, I can't do this. Locks up, panics, takes off, gone out. Luckily, it was for no points or anything. And
luckily, there was no restart.
Penalty. Yeah, Formula One can end races behind safety cars. We've got to mention this every time. It is possible, only when Max Verstappen's leading, of course. That would obviously... I mean, as soon as this crash happened and the safety car came out, I had to go see my parents, so I immediately just left.
Yeah, I left as well. I banked on the fact it wouldn't restart. So.
No, exactly. So Max took the win ahead of George. Carlos in P3, so exactly the same top three as Baku. Lewis, obviously, ahead of Leclerc. Albon, Tsunoda and Antonelli, of course, because of Bearman's 10-second penalty. After what would have been a really good drive by Ollie Bearman as well. Tsunoda, 11 places gained in that sprint race. Absolute sequence.
It's got to be a record for a sprint, probably. Or Hamilton did that, actually, didn't he, in Brazil?
I was going to say, it's happened. More... They've gained close to that a few times, haven't they?
Hamilton got 15, didn't he, when he went last fifth.
Yeah,
so,
brilliant drive. Brilliant drive.
Just a shame about the engine was illegal, but there we go.
It wasn't illegal? How was the engine illegal? It was just very, very up-tuned.
Too fast. Ban it.
GP qualifying
Saturday evening.
Night.
I missed it all because I was watching McFly. So that was great.
How was McFly?
Oh, lovely. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit croaky because I was shouting too loud at the show. So that was fun. It was a great show. Yeah, would recommend. Yeah, so Quali happened. I didn't even realise Isaac Hadjar crashed until I watched the highlights the next morning.
Yep.
But he did. Bad one as well. Immediately on his first run in Q1, which is not that clever at all.
But he did hit a bump. It was very much kind of, he was fine, it was instantaneous, gone.
That bump's there for everyone, so...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, no. It's fair
point. It didn't appear for Isaac Hadjar. So last on the grid for him. Alex Albon also second last on the grid because his first lap was pretty awful and his second lap he did get through, but it was deleted for track limits, which he was flirting with track limits about every
all
quarter.
All the way around. Yeah, it was quite insane, to be honest. But yeah, they would be joined by Bortoleto, Ocon, and obviously the aforementioned Lance Stroll with a five-place grid drop made no difference at all because he was the slowest in qualifying. Q2, of course. I mean, Jamie, after his brilliant effort in sprint qualifying, Hülkenberg was definitely into Q3. And ended up 11th, so that streak continues in real qualifying.
I wonder what the record is. I might go and look this up after. The highest championship position for a driver who never makes Q3.
Never made Q3.
Because I reckon he's going for that record, because the amount of times he's been 11th is a bit ridiculous
impressive.
At this point.
Quite impressive. Lawson out, Tsunoda out, Gasly, Colapinto all out. I think again, Tsunoda got a bit quiet. You know, him and Liam Lawson kept having beef, didn't they? Because they kept holding each other up or giving each other dirty air or something. And it all seemed like quite a nothing issue. But yeah, I mean, we got into Q3. I think we were all kind of expecting, again, you know, Max versus the McLarens. Except for this time around, neither McLaren decided to show up. So Max ended up going quicker than basically everybody by an absolute landslide on the first runs. Then messed up, the Red Bull messed up his timing. So he basically accidentally did a Sebastian Vettel. From 2013 Singapore.
11, that was.
Where 2011 Singapore, where he comes in after his first run and doesn't go again.
And just watch it. That is such aura watching Q3.
Watching Q3 happen when you're already on pole is quite impressive. Leclerc would do pretty well because he'd be, 5 seconds off the times at the end of his first run because he span at the final corner, but never actually exceeded track limits, so the laps still count.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny.
But he got a very good run in the second attempt, didn't he? And Ferrari looked nowhere, and then suddenly they were fifth and third.
Ferrari either do really well in a sprint or really well in a Grand Prix, but not both. They're bizarre. Well,
yeah, I feel like they just got it together with the setup because the sprint setup looked absolutely awful. But the GP was a lot better for them.
No, it was. It was. So Max would take pole. Again, it was the same front row as yesterday. Oscar Piastri, I mean, just played it safe. Ended up all the way down in P6. Not ideal. I think he's going to have to take a little bit more risk than that, especially when McLaren, if they ever look like kind of the dominant force again this season. Charles Leclerc, though, in P3, just had a Russell, Hamilton, the aforementioned Piastri, Antonelli, Sainz, Behrmann, and Fernando Alonso making up our top 10. And after the drama of the sprint start, it's safe to say that the race start was a lot more calm.
Yes, and you get the feeling that people maybe played it a little bit more safe, given how much carnage
just
there was in the sprint start. But it didn't change for Max Verstappen, who still got a good start, covered off Norris, held the lead, job done. And good news for Max Verstappen was that Charles Leclerc went flying around the outside on his soft tyres on Lando Norris, took P2, and then Norris was stuck for the whole first stint.
Yeah.
And by the time Norris eventually got ahead of Charles Leclerc, I think Max was 10 seconds down the road. I said to my parents, who I was watching with in the Midland Hotel in Manchester, which is very fancy.
Casual name drop in there.
3 laps into the race, I said, well, Max should win this now, given that Leclerc's second and Norris is third, and there's already 3 seconds between them. It was like, this is Max's to lose, unless the McLaren's ridiculously fast.
Yeah. I think if Lando got past him in like the first 5 laps, it might have been game on.
Yeah.
But also, it was really odd, wasn't it? Because nobody wanted to use the hard tyre here.
Well, they did they did the step change. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah. So it was C4, C3, and... No, sorry, C2...
It was...
C3, C4, C6, wasn't it? Or something ridiculous. Or is it the other way around? I can't remember.
I believe
how it all
the hard was way worse, basically. So it was the C4, 3...
And 1.
Sorry,
if
2.
One is hardest.
I forget the order. We're really messing
I'm pretty certain
up.
It was 3, 4, and 6.
Yes. But six is the softest, isn't it?
Is it? So it was seed...
It was the other way around, yeah.
Three, 4, 3, and 1.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. And we do know wheel on this podcast.
We do. We don't actually know about the Pirelli wheels, but we know
yes. So basically, there was a step change between the medium and the hard. So the hard tyre was absolutely awful.
But it was basically irrelevant.
I feel like Hadjar, Ocon, a few others maybe started on it, and then
there were a few that started on it.
They pit before Leclerc did because it was such a bad tyre. Which basically meant Pirelli were hoping it would make a two-stop race. It meant everyone babied their tyres to make a one-stop work. They need to shorten pit lanes. They need to make pit lane lost time about 15 seconds. And then everyone would move towards two stops at some races.
What I don't get is how a sport that is so big on data can't work out how to make races more strategically interesting like that. It's the other one as well, isn't it? It feels like so many times this year, DRS zones are just not long enough
to do anything. This DRS zone was perfect, I think. Down the back straight.
It's always car versus car dependent, isn't it?
If it was 20 metres longer, Norris would have flown past Leclerc at the first
It could have done with being 10 metres longer, I think. Just a little bit.
It also helped that the McLaren was awful in a straight line compared to the Ferrari.
It wasn't great. There would be a bit of drama, though, on lap one, Jamie. Alex Albon tried to go down the inside. I can't remember who it was now. I think it might have been Stroll. No, it wasn't Bortoletto, because Bortoletto was the car in front of the one he was overtaking. And then kind of got down the inside accidentally of Bortoletto. For all I know, Bortoletto might not have even known he was there. But then Albon kind of just span himself off of Bortoletto's wheel, which was kind of, screwed himself over. Sainz would get past Ollie Bearman, and then would try to make a move on Andrea Kimi Antonelli. Antonelli, I think, kind of slammed the door more than he should have, maybe. He could have probably saved himself in that scenario.
He could have done,
but it was still Sainz's fault.
Yeah, Sainz, I mean, it's funny because he orchestrated it on Bearman just to then try it again on Antonelli. And
yeah,
I don't know, he wasn't anywhere near alongside enough on Antonelli to warrant. Obviously, like, when Bearman tries to close the door, Sainz's whole car is on his inside. Against Antonelli, he wasn't in his peripheral quite, probably. So Antonelli just didn't, I don't think he knew he was there particularly. And he did come from all the way back. But it screwed over both of them. From P7 and 8, they were just, out and spun round to last. So, yeah, didn't do either of them any good, really, did it?
No, exactly. I mean, that basically just meant we didn't really see either of them ever again, particularly.
Well, Sainz was out, that'd be why.
Well, yeah, Sainz was out, of course, wasn't he? And obviously Antonelli was basically mired towards the back markers now. Because, again, the Mercedes didn't look particularly strong this weekend. Let's be fair, Jamie. Pretty much the entire race was just watching Charles Leclerc versus Lando Norris, wasn't it? It was kind of the only thing that kept this race from being basically a complete snooze fest.
Yeah, and I think the battle was pretty fun, to be honest. It was massively helped by the fact Norris spent 52 laps discovering the inside line. Because Leclerc, he was defending, obviously, but he wasn't, driving on the white line on the inside. So, Lewis Hamilton on the sprint showed how it's done, basically. And if you've even got a car's width or half a car's width, you can drive on the dirt.
Yeah. Exactly. I guess, again, it's kind of that great balance, isn't it, between a driver in a quicker car that has everything to lose versus a driver that's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, but Leclerc was driving excellently, to be fair to him.
I know,
he was
brilliant defensive masterclass, but again, I just don't think Lando's just not that great at being the attacking driver either.
Especially with a bit of pressure on him in terms of championship.
Exactly.
But we got two battles, because the first in, Leclerc's obviously on old softs, Norris is on better medium tyres.
Yep.
The nature of being on a soft means you pit earlier, so Norris did get past him on lap 21.
Yep.
Leclerc then pits. Norris pretty much pits immediately. 12 laps later, and Leclerc's back ahead. So we got it all again. It almost looked like Leclerc was going to hold on, but sadly not for the championship's sake. And
what do you
Norris
mean for
eventually...
the championship's sake? It's got nothing to do with Leclerc.
No, but Norris getting fewer points is better for Max Verstappen, isn't it?
Yeah, but some of us don't want that.
Well, half of the podcast presenters do. So yeah, Norris... To be fair, we've been rinsing him for bad racecraft. He did still get second place, so it didn't matter in the end.
And to be honest, I think this weekend the Red Bull was just
too fast.
Quick. Yeah, and I think it just as quick as the McLaren, and obviously Max Verstappen is a quicker driver than Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri.
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
100%.
So I mean, yeah, it would be Verstappen that takes the win ahead of Norris. Charles Leclerc, another podium for him. Hamilton apparently had a puncture on the final lap, or like lost a little bit of pressure. So barely, but he did lose like 10 seconds in the last two laps to Piastri.
Yeah, but he wasn't like crawling.
No, but he did have a loss of pressure, I believe, in that tyre. So would barely hang on ahead of Oscar. Russell in a pretty lonely P6 in the end. Tsunoda ahead of Hülkenberg, Ollie Bearman, and I believe it was Alonso once again then that took the final points paying position. With Sainz the only driver out. And that now means, Jamie, with 5 races and 2 sprints to go, there are 40 points in it for the World Championship.
Yes, I'm excited for the remainder of the season.
Can Max Verstappen actually do it? If you had to put money on it right now.
To be honest, I think current form, for me, it's between Norris and Verstappen, despite Piastri being the one with the lead. Like, Piastri just looked off it so badly. He got a podium at Monza, and he's not finished on a podium since then.
No.
And, like, that's really, really poor form.
No,
and Norris has been driving excellently since about, well, since he crashed into his teammate at Canada, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I want to say Max Verstappen, but all it takes is one race where the McLaren is just dominant and Verstappen finishes third or fourth and it's a 1-2 for McLaren's, and that makes it an awful lot harder. But if
it's like, going to be like either a Vegas because it's a really peculiar track or a Qatar because there's so many long corners.
Yeah. Well, you look at the historical performance. Mexico is a Verstappen track. Brazil is a Verstappen track.
Not last year, though, it wasn't.
Abu Dhabi is as well. Like, all
is
three
Abu
of those.
Is Abu Dhabi a Verstappen track?
He's won the last 4 events there, I want to say. No, he didn't win last year, did he? But
no.
The 3 or 4 before that, I guess he's just, everyone else has given up by the end of the season usually. But yeah, I'm excited. If Verstappen, for perspective, if Verstappen wins every Grand Prix and sprint, even if Piastri is second place in every single one of those, Piastri would win by only 3 points. So that's just how good Piastri's got to be for the rest of the season. And currently, I just don't think he's there.
Well, I think the bigger question as well has got to be, isn't it, at the moment, which we can kind of look at it from, you know, the script, of can Max take 15 points out of them in the next 4 races and 2 sprints is a much better question, isn't it? Because obviously, if you get to Abu Dhabi less than 25 points back, anything can happen.
Yeah, but I don't, as in if Verstappen's like 20 off both of them, it's entirely unlikely.
They could take each other, right?
Yeah, but they won't if it's that. Like, if all they need is a P8, so they're not going to even risk taking each other out, are they? I guess if they're still fighting each other.
If there's a 5-point gap between them and they know
that's
the
true.
Win
is, that
is needed.
True.
And then exactly my just, point.
Yeah, I'm loving it. We haven't had a 3-way championship fight since 2012.
2010 was 4-way.
No, 2012 was 2, wasn't it? It would be 2010. My word.
2010 was a 4-way fight. I think they've only ever had 1 3-way championship decider, and that was the late mid-80s, I want to say.
No, it's 2007 as well, Raikkonen against
the 2007, yeah, of course, yeah. Of course.
But I would say 2010 counts, given Hamilton was basically out of the running in Abu Dhabi as well. Yeah. But yeah, it's an awful long time since we had three drivers going at it, and I just beg Max Verstappen gets the 5th. I'd be so happy. It would be
Oscar
insane. It would put him right up there with the greatest of all time already if he comes back.
Yeah, but
season.
I think a 4-time world champion puts you in that club anyway.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, I can, even as someone that's famously not a Max Verstappen fan, if he wins this championship, it will definitely be his best. Like,
yeah,
without a shadow of a doubt in my mind. Because it was all those weekends where the Red Bull hasn't been there where he still picks up the points that could prove critical by the
end
of
the one,
year.
I would say he's had one bad race in Spain, and that was it.
Yeah,
the rest,
exactly.
Like, bringing stupidly highly at the rest, basically.
Exactly. Predictions
quiz.
Recap, Jamie?
Oh, predictions first. I've got 3 minutes for reference before work's going to shout at me. Predictions. I was 11 points clear, and it went quite well for me.
Yeah, it did. It really
because
did.
Because you put Norris as a sprint winner. Didn't happen. Piastri as pole. Nowhere near.
No.
Piastri winner. No. Norris second. Yes. 2 points.
Yes. 2 points. We love it.
And Verstappen third. So that's 3 points for Matt.
Yep.
I said Max sprint winner +2.
2 points.
Max pole +2.
Yeah.
Max winner +2. Russell second, Piastri third. So actually, you've done quite well to get only
I've lost
three
out
points.
On 3 points. Yeah.
So that puts me on 62. And you're on 48. So that's a big gap. It's going to
I need a bit of a miracle. Yeah, I need a bit of a miracle in these final few races.
Race rating? It was mid.
I'm going to give it a 6. Over the course of the weekend, a 6.5, a 7, I think. Because there was a bit of drama, there was a bit of intrigue.
GP was a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Do you want to do the quiz real quick? We can do your quiz real quick.
I'm going to give you 60 seconds then, Jamie.
Okay.
Obviously, we've had 19 races now this season, which, you know, not that long ago felt like it would have been an entire campaign's worth. Do you know when the last season we had 19 races?
I want to say 2015.
Bang on, sir. You have got 1 minute to name me every single driver that has won a race from the start of 2015 till the present day. There are 15 answers. Your time starts now.
Okay. Hamilton, Rosberg,
yes,
Vettel.
Yes, yes.
Ricardo, Verstappen.
Yes, yes.
Bottas.
Yes.
Any more in 17? Raikkonen.
Yes.
Leclerc.
Yes.
Gasly. Ocon.
Yes. Yes.
2020. Perez.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes. You've got three more
Norris,
to go.
Norris, Piastri.
Yes. Sorry, there were 16 answers. I left
Norris
off
Piastri
the list.
And
you got
two more to go.
Sorry, there's 16 answers, not 15. I completely forgot Lando Norris exists.
Oh no, who am I forgetting? Carlos Sainz.
Correct. One more. You got 10 seconds.
Oh no. No. But, is it stupid?
Oh no, I've been wrong. You've got them all.
Oh okay, I was going to say.
I just realised I accidentally put Ricardo twice and Norris not at all.
Right. Okay. Well, I was like,
there you go.
Am I forgetting something? Did someone
nail it.
Did Liam Lawson win a race that I forgot about? I'm like, what's going on?
Sorry, yeah, no, you nailed that one. That was all on me.
Lovely.
What a brilliant way to end the show.
There we go.
Jamie.
So somehow you're not doing the quiz, but you got more wrong answers than me.
Yeah, I did, which is pretty good going by my standards. Have we got anything else to add?
No, I think we've done well. We'll be back for Mexico something preview.
Yeah, we'll be back Mexico probably Thursday. I would imagine the podcast will go live because I think we've got to record it on Wednesday this week. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed, drop us a follow, drop us a sub, all that good stuff. And yeah, Jamie and I will return later on this week to preview the Mexican Grand Prix.